Okay, so today is Tuesday, April 27th, 15th of Iyar. I think it's the 30th day of the Omer, if you haven't counted yet. And we are continuing with Perek Bet of Malachim Aleph. We're actually going to see here at the end of the section I included that David HaMelech passes away, but we're not done because he gives all these commands to Shlomo for him to carry out. And I want to finish the Perek when he actually carries out all of these commands. So we will not finish with David's death. We're going to continue the end of the Perek. And I promise I won't go beyond that. Okay. So to review what we did last time, you can see the red samach here on the screen to show that that was the end of the previous section where David commands him to follow the laws of the Torah and the ways of Hashem, and that's expressed in several different ways of mishpatim and chukim and all sorts of different ways that we discussed last week. It's also going to be relevant this week if we get to it. And then he gives him the command for three specific people. So we're going to review the Yoav. V'gam ata yadata et asher asah li Yoav ben Tzruya. So you know what Yoav, the son of Tzruya, did to me. Asher asah l'shnei sarei tzvaot. That he did to the two captains of the army battalions. I don't know if that's the right translation, but it says hosts here, of Israel. So there's a question here that we're going to see, and we saw it a little bit last week. Are these three different things, what he did to me and what he did to the two people, or is it all included, and how does it flow? We're going to see some interesting opinions. So who are these two? La'avner ben Ner, la'amasa ben Yater. So Avner was Shaul's general that David, in order to keep peace, brought him onto his own army. And Amasa was Avshalom's general that the same thing, in order to bring peace after Avshalom's defeat, David brought him into his own army. Vehargeim, and Yoav killed them both. Veasem demei melchama b'shalom, and he put the blood of war in peace. Veiten demei melchama b'chagorato asher b'matnav. And he put the blood of war upon his belt that was on his loins, ubinalo asher beraglav, and his shoes that were on his feet. Ve'asab kechochmatecha, so you, Shlomo, do according to your wisdom, belo toreid sevato b'shalom she'ol, and don't let his gray head go down to the underworld in peace, to his grave in peace. So that is Yoav. V'livnei Barzilai, now to the children of Barzilai HaGiladi, we're going to review who he was. Ta'aseh chesed v'hayu be'ochlei shulchanecha. You should do chesed and they should be among the eaters at your table. You need to have them for dinner. It's an interesting command. Ki ken karvu elai v'barachim ifnei Avshalom achicha. Because they came close to me when I was escaping from Avshalom, your brother. So we have Yoav, who did these bad things. We have Barzilai HaGiladi, who did good things, and David wants to Shlomo to repay his children with good things. V'hine imcha Shimi ben Gera. And now he's going to talk about Shimi ben Gera, who led a revolt. Ben Hayimini, he was a Benjamite, mi Bachurim, from the place called Bachurim. V'hu klalani klala nimretzet. He cursed me with an awful curse. B'yom lechti Machanaim, on the day that I went to Machanaim. V'hu yarad likrati hayarden, and then he came down to meet me at the Jordan, v'ashava lo basham, and I swore to him in the name of God, lemor, saying, im amitcha b'cherev, that I would never put him to death by the sword. So even though he cursed him, he apologized, and David promised he would not kill him. V'ata al tenakehu, but now, cleanse him, but it's usually, we say it in the 13 midot on all the chagim, nakeh, lo yinakeh, means cleanse from guilt or sin. So don't cleanse him, meaning hold him guilty, hold him liable. Ki ish chachamata, because you are a wise man. Again, the second mention of Shlomo's wisdom here. V'yadata et asher ta'aselo, and you will know what to do to him. V'horadata et tzevato b'dam she'ol. And you should bring his hoary head, his gray head, down to the grave with blood. It's a different command in terms of killing or not killing, whatever it is, than it was with Yoav. But still, you must deal with him. Vishkav David im avotav, Vayikaver be'ir David. And David laid down with his fathers, and he was buried in the city of David. Okay, so let's just review what all these stories are. And I want you to pay attention to the chapter numbers in which they appear. It's an interesting order, and it's interesting just on the face of it that we have bad, good, bad. So let's see how that goes. So the first story, we'll just read these in English. So it came to pass when David came to Mahanaim that Shobi, the son of Nahash from Rabbah, of the children of Amram, Machir, the son of Amiel, of Lo Debar, and Barzillai, the Giladite, that's our guy, of Rogalim. Beds and bowls and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched grain and beans and lentils and parched grain and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kind they presented to David and to the people that were with him to eat, for they said, the people are hungry, faint, and thirsty from the wilderness. So this is when David is escaping from his rebellious son Absalom, who's leading a rebellion, and all of these people come to show their support to David and bring him and his entire troops with him food and animals and drink and all sorts of things. So Barzillai is just one of many who do that. And then we see him again. So that was chapter 17. So we see him again in chapter 19. And Barzillai the Giladite came down from Roglim. This is after Absalom's rebellion has been put down, and David is returning to Jerusalem because he had fled before from Absalom. So Barzillai the Giladite came down from Rogalim, and he crossed the Jordan with the king in order to escort him across the Jordan. These are all things that we studied before, so if it sounds familiar, good. Now Barzillai was a very old man, 80 years old, and he had sustained the king when he stayed at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. So that's reminding us of what I just read to you. And the king said to Barzillai, "You come over with me, and I will sustain you with me in Jerusalem. Come, be an advisor to me, help me, be in Jerusalem with me." And Barzillai said to the king, "How many are the days of my life that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? I am 80 years old this day. Can I still discern between good and bad? Or can your servant taste what I eat and drink? Or can I still listen to the voice of singers and songstresses? Why then should your servant be yet a burden to my lord the king?" If you remember, we spent a long time on that pasuk. "A short way shall your servant go past the Jordan with the king, but why should the king recompense me with such reward? Allow your servant, please, to turn back so that I may die in my own city by the grave of my father and mother. Here, however, is your servant, Chimham." I'm assuming that's his son. "Let him go over with my lord the king and do to him what is good in your eyes." And the king said, "Chimham shall go over with me, and I will do to him what seems good in your eyes. Now anything that you shall request of me, I shall do for you." And all the people went over the Jordan, and the king went over, and the king kissed Barzillai, and he blessed him, and returned to his place. So you can see this special relationship that they had, and why the king would want to ensure that Shlomo would continue that special relationship. Okay, so notice those chapters were the actual, when he actually sustained him, was chapter 17, when we see the depth of their relationship and that David's going to take care of his son, is chapter 19. And now, when we talk about the third person on the list, which is Shimi ben Gera, this incident, it happens in chapter 16. So it's interesting that we went out of chronological order, and it's even more strange that we separated between the bad acts of Yoav and Shimi to bring you the good actions of Barzillai, when that's not even the chronological order. There doesn't seem to be any reason for it. So the Al-Sheikh is going to address that. But first, let's review. So again, chapter 16, it's the rebellion of Absalom. And King David came to Bacharim, and behold, there came out of there a man from the family of the house of Shaul, whose name was Shimi, the son of Gera, coming forth and cursing. And he threw stones at David and at all King David's servants and at all the people and at all the mighty men who were on his right hand, right and on his left hand. And so said Shimi in his curse, "Begone, begone, you man of blood, and you wicked man. The Lord has returned upon you all the blood of the house of Shaul, in whose stead you have reigned, and the Lord has given the kingdom into the hands of Absalom your son. And behold, you are in your own evil, for you are a man of blood." We discussed at the time that he could have been referring to Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite, her husband at the time, that he had killed, that we spoke about also with Yoav. And Avishai, the son of Tsruya, so this is Avishai, David's nephew, the son of his sister, said to the king, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I beg you, and remove his head." And the king said, "What is between me and you, sons of Tsruya? So let him curse, because the Lord has surely said to him, 'Curse David.' Who then shall have the right to say, 'Why have you done so?'" And David said to Avishai and to all his servants, "Behold, my son who came from my body seeks my life. How much more now that the Benjamite should do it?" Meaning, if my own son wants to kill me, all the more so a descendant of Benjamin and of Shaul, who considered David his enemy, that he should want to kill him as well. "Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord has bidden him." So he's seeing all this coming as a message from God. And that's how David's interpreting it, and therefore he doesn't want to kill him. "Perhaps the Lord will see the tears in my eye, and the Lord will return to me good instead of his curse on this day." And David and his men went by the road, and Shimei went along the hillside opposite him, going and cursing, and he threw stones toward him, and he threw earth. It's pretty extreme, Shimei's actions. But then later, in chapter 19, so again, if you're paying attention to the numbers, this was chapter 16, and this was chapter 19, verse 32, Barzillai the Gileadite, okay? And now look at this. The reconciliation with Shimei that we're going to read about now is chapter 19, right before Barzillai HaGiladi. It's verse 17. So again, it's very strange that David would mention Barzillai before Shimei, when chronologically, both in their taking leave of each other and the actual events, it doesn't make sense. And by the way, the section that we just read about Barzillai, about Shimei, is what I added into this updated source sheet. Okay, and this was already in the source sheet. "And Shimei, the son of Gera, the Benjamite, who was from Bahurim, hurried and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David, and 1,000 men of Benjamin were with him, and Ziba, the servant of the house of Shaul, and his 15 sons and 20 servants were also with him, and they split the Jordan before the king." So they're accepting David as the king, and they're showing how they accept. "And the barge crossed over to bring the king's household across and to do what would be pleasing in his eyes. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king when he was crossing the Jordan. And he said to the king, 'Let not my lord impute iniquity to me, nor remember that which your servant sinned on the day that my lord the king went out of Jerusalem, to the degree that the king should take it to his heart. For your servant knows that I have sinned, and I have therefore come this day as the first of all the house of Joseph.'" So even though he's a Benjamite, from Benjamin, he's considering himself from the house of Joseph, "to go down towards my lord the king," because they're both the sons of Rachel. "And Avishai, the son of Tsruya, responded and said," again, Avishai, the same one as before when the event actually happened, "In exchange for this, shall Shimei not be put to death for having cursed the Lord's anointed?" And David said, "What is it between me and you, sons of Tsruya?" The exact same response, "that you should become a hindrance to me this today. Shall any man be put to death today in Israel? For do I not know that today I am king over Israel?" Meaning he's not going to put people to death on the day that the entire country accepts him as king. "And the king said to Shimei, 'You shall not die.' And the king swore to him." So there seems to have been a real reconciliation. So we have to think about what is it that made David think that he should have Shlomo deal with Shimei after he swore he would not deal with him in any negative way. Okay. So now we're going to look at a little bit of the Radak. So when the Radak says to Shlomo about dealing with Yoav, "Ve'asita kechokhmatecha," do according to your wisdom, "klomar shelo tahargeu ad shetimtza alav avla." I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but it's definitely not ola. So don't kill him until you find some sort of deficiency in him. "Afal pi shehu chayav mita," even though he is deserving of death, I think halachically, "ki milchamot Hashem nilcham v'tovot nimtzeu bo," but he fought the wars of God and he has goodness in him, "ela sheharag le'ela shnei hasarim," except that he killed these two officers chinam, for no reason, "lefia ta'aseh k'chokhmatecha," therefore do according to your wisdom, "shetavi'ehu lidei ila," that you should bring him according to some machination, I think, the hasiba sheyitzchayav hariga, and find a reason that he should be obligated in death. Below taratzirato b'shalom sha'ol, and he should not go peacefully to the underworld. Shelo tanichehu lamot mitzat atzmo. Don't let him die in and of himself. Ela yehareg. Rather, he should be killed, kamo sheharag, just like he killed. Kikain karvu alai. And now it's talking about Barzilai Hagiladit, that they came close to him. Bezeha derech karvu alai. This is how he came close to me. They came close to me. B'ma'achal b'mishta, with food and drink. K'mo shekatuv mishkaf sfot, and it lists all the things that we read about all the things that Barzilai Hagiladit and the other group of men brought to David. B'katuv v'hu kilkel et ha'melech, and it's written that he sustained the king. B'sevato b'machanaim, in his old, in satisfying him in Machanaim. No, that's not satisfying. B'shivto b'machanaim, in his return from Machanaim. V'chein tergeim Yonatan, and that's also how Yonatan translates it, with sviko sarche. He's provided his needs. V'hine imcha, and behold, with you. So this is Shimi. No, Shava ben Bichri. But why am I? Yeah, Shimi ben Gera. Sorry, not Shava ben Bichri. He was another rebellion leader. Shimi ben Gera. So he's, what does it mean he's with you? Klomar, afal pi shehu mishevet Binyamin, even though he's from the tribe of Benjamin, imcha uberashutcha, he's with you and he's under your authority. V'hu lahavio lidei mita, and you can bring him to death. Pirayon, or some kind of loss. V'hine imcha b'Yerushalayim, and he's with you in Jerusalem. Kedei shetuchal imtzolo ila. So again, find another machination, another reason why he needs to, siba lahamito, a reason to put him to death. Ubidrash, but according to the Midrash, ki rabo haya. So when we originally learned about Sheva ben Bichri, we learned that he was indeed Shlomo's teacher, v'haya melamdo, and he would teach him, v'zehu ta'am imcha, and that's what it means to be with him. And if we were continuing on in Malachim, we would see the Midrash that the entire time that he was alive, Shimi ben Bichri, Shlomo didn't stray too far from the Torah, and it was after he died that Shlomo married the daughter of Paro, which was one of many steps with women that led to his eventual downfall of idolatry in the temple. Okay, so Klalani, he cursed me. Bizauti, he humiliated me. Bidvarim uvemase, in both words and deeds. Nimratzit, this is like the intense cursing, chazaka, strong. Shamar lo ish hadamim, ish habliyael, all of these horrible insults that we read, a man of blood, an idolater, be'afar, be'afar, dust of dust, kamo ma nimratzu amre, and then he's yosher. V'yesh darash shehu notrikon. And there is a midrash that this is an acronym, it's a code. I'll just skip to that quickly. I didn't put it in the right order. So, nimratzit, you see the word with the two dots, the two lines, sorry, implying that it is a acronym. So, noefhu, the nun stands for adulterer. Moavihu, he's a Moabite. Do you remember learning about all the controversy of David's Moabite ancestry with Ruth as we count towards Shavuot? Rotseachu, the resh, is a murderer. Tzorerhu, he's an enemy. Toevahu, he's an abomination. So that's what Nimratzit stands for, all of the insults that he gave to him. And then we have Yarad Likrati, She'emcholo, then he came down to greet me so that I should forgive him. V'nishbati lo shelo amitanu, and I swore to him that I wouldn't kill him. Afal pi she'nishbati lo shelo amitanu, and even though I swore to him I wouldn't kill him, chayav mita, he needs to be put to death. Who? And you need to keep my oath not to kill him until you find some other pretense. That's a better word for that word, pretense. Ve'avon, and a sin, ve'savavota hadavar shi'avoli de'avon she'hayalecha din alav kede lehamito. And then you'll have a complaint against him so that you can kill him. Ki ish chachamata, because you are a wise man, ve'tedalim tzolo ila, and you'll know how to find a pretense. Be'er David Hu Tzion. So that's where he was buried. Okay, another
I
midrash.
just wanted to say something, Stacey. Is it pretense or is it an actual cause of action? Because in modern Hebrew, Eliza is an actual cause of action. That's why I'm asking that.
Right.
So I'm wondering if he wanted to find something, you know, that was technically was a reason to kill him. I mean, I guess you could call it a pretense, but that it did actually have to technically be,
right,
you know, something that would be making liable for the death penalty.
So we're going to see that he, I think it's more pretense, because we're going to see the way he finds to kill him is like, if you leave Jerusalem, I'll kill you. So for a normal person, that wouldn't be an actual cause for action, but because he disobeyed the king, so that's why I think it's pretense, but David really is telling him, you're right, to find an actual cause. So yeah, it's complicated. Okay, so this midrash from Otzer Midrashim, we've seen Midrashim here before. It's a publication from the 20th century, but some of the Midrashim date much earlier than that. So he says, why didn't David want to kill him? So it's explaining in Esther. Why is it explaining Esther? Because Esther and Mordechai also come from Binyamin. Shaita imo mi Yehuda ve'aviv mi Binyamin. So his father was from Benjamin, his mother was from Yehuda. V'hayu ha'mishpachot mitgarot zo bezo. And the families would harass each other. Ve'omert ma asalanu shevet Yehuda. What did the tribe of Judah do to us? She'omalei harag David et Shimi ben Gera. If only David had killed Shimi ben Gera, then Mordechai never would have come, and then Haman wouldn't have had this jealousness towards us and made our lives miserable. We read this before when we learned about Shimi ben Gera originally. So the family of Binyamin would get up in arms. Umash shilem lanu Binyamin. Shomalei harag Shaul Agag. Oh no! Then they would attack Binyamin. Sorry, the family Binyamin. How did Binyamin pay us? That if only he had killed Shaul, la Agag. Sorry, if only Shaul had killed Agag, lo haya yotze mimenu Haman. Then Haman never would have come out of him, right? So it's just a funny thing about Shimi ben Gera. And then I don't know if I included it. Somebody's going to mention it, but I should have included it here. That is one of the reasons why David didn't want to kill Shimi ben Gera, because he had this Ruach HaKodesh that Mordechai would come from him. So we're going to see that later. Okay, Midrash Shmuel, Asara Oivim Hayulo LeDavid. David had 10 enemies. Chamisha b'Yisrael. 5 of them were from Israel. V'chamisha b'Umot Olam. And 5 were from the nations of the world. Chamisha b'Yisrael, who were the 5 in Israel? Doeg, if you remember, he's the one that told Shaul that the priests of Nov had helped him, and he made up all these stories and how he ended up killing all the priests of Nov. V'Achitofel, who was David's advisor, who left and went to Avshalom. V'Shaul was his enemy. V'Shimi ben Gera, V'Sheva ben Bichri. Shimi ben Gera and Sheva ben Bichri both. Sheva ben Gera cursed him, and Sheva ben Bichri actually led a rebellion. Chamisha b'Umot Olam, who were the 5 of the nations of the world, Goliath and 3 of his brothers. So that's 4, and Shovech. And I don't remember much of Shovech, but he has these different names in different books. And it says here, Ve'asiti lecha shem gadol kashem gadolim. So in Shmuel Bet, I thought this was interesting. It's not so relevant to what we're talking, but I left it here. I made you a big name like the name of the great people. Mikan kavu kachamim elokei David ubunei Yisrael, Yerushalayim. It's from here that we have the 2 brachot in the Shemona Esrei of elokei David and builder of Jerusalem. Keneged elokei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. Just like we say, the God of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. And on Shabbos, even though we don't say that bracha of Bonei Yerushalayim, because it's not in the Shabbos Shmona Esrei, Hamaftir Benavi Mazkiro, the one who says the bracha after the Haftorah, he does mention it. Elokei David Matzmiach Yeshua Le'amo Yisrael. So there it's mentioned, the God of David, even on Shabbos when we don't say the bracha in the Shmona Esrei. Okay, so now this was interesting in terms of halachically justifying David's action. It's from the Rambam on the Laws of Kings, chapter 3, halacha 8, and I'll just read in English. Chabad.org has all of the Rambam's Mishnah Torah in English. Anyone who rebels against a king of Israel may be executed by the king. Even if the king orders one of the people to go to a particular place and the latter refuses, or he orders him not to leave his house and he goes out, I think that's what's going to happen with Shimi ben Gera and Shlomo, the offender is liable to be put to death. The king may execute him if he desires, as Joshua states, whoever rebels against your command shall be put to death. Similarly, anyone who embarrasses or shames the king may be executed by the king, as was Shimi ben Gera. The king may only execute people by decapitation. He may also imprison offenders and have them beaten with rods to protect his honor. However, he may not confiscate property. If he does, it is considered theft. Okay. So now we have the Alshich. And he brings up a lot of questions that I've hinted at. I hinted at in the beginning, and he provides some interesting analysis of the text. So he's going back to the pasuk of Vishamarta that I did not include here, but that we read through a couple times, that David is telling Shlomo to guard all the ways of God. So he says, Ra'ui l'sim lev, we need to pay attention. He's going to make a list of things to pay attention to. Aleph, first one, ma'inyan shalosh hatzva'ot ha'elu. What are these three commands that David gives to Shlomo? Of the wording, oh, so we should actually look. I knew I wanted to include this, sorry. So we should look at the wording. So I'm just going to show you again quickly in Chabad.org. Okay. So the three ways are keep the charge of your Lord, your God, Shamarta et mishmeret Hashem Elokecha lelechet bidrachav, to walk in his ways, lishmor chukotav, to guard his laws, mitzvotav and mishvotav, ve'edotav, kakatuv v'torat Moshe. Okay, so the Alshich, and if you remember, we had, there were other people who had a debate on how to parse this sentence. Somehow the Alshich divides it into three things. So I just wanted to remind you of the pasuk. Oops, sorry. Okay. So what are these three commands in that pasuk? Bet v'gam lama hifsik ben Yoav l'shimi b'ha'achilat b'nei Barzilai ha'giladi. Why does he separate between Yoav and Shimi, who are the two people who deserved bad things or death, in talking about how Barzilai ha'giladi fed him? Gimel v'chein be'omro asher tifneh sham, and that's what it says in pasuk Gimel, that you should, everywhere you turn, that it seems like he's pointing him to a place and it's not there. I didn't really understand that question, so he doesn't really explain it. Dalid, ve'od omru, ve'gam atayadata et asher asai Yoav. And it also says, ve'gam, and also you know that which Yoav did, ki eno mitachas el hakadom sheyomar ve'gam. Why does it say ve'gam, and also, when it doesn't seem to relate to what came before it? Hey, ve'od omro asher asal shnei sarei tzvakot, and he furthermore said, that which you did to the two officers of the army, ki hara'ui yomar ve'asher. So in our pasuk, it just says, that which you did. Alshich is saying grammatically, it should have said, and that which you did. Ki asher asalo hu davar acher, because that which you did to him is another thing. Uma gam lerazal, to the rabbis, and what also to the rabbis, shamru, so the rabbis interpret this thing that Yoav did to David is that Yoav showed all of the army men what David had written to command him to place Uriah on the front line so that he would be killed. And if that is so, that which you did to the two officers, hu inyan acher, it's a different matter. V'harui yomar v'asher asa. And so it would have been better to say, and that which you did. So the way it's written, it looks like what he did to me is the same as the two officers, unless it had had this vav, which it didn't, which would then allow us to say it's something separate. Omnam yitachin sheratzal tzavto al shlosha dvarim shehaolam omed aleihem. So maybe David is commanding Shlomo on the three things upon which the world stands, and you probably all know this from Pirkei Avot: Torah, ve'avoda, ve'gemilut chasadim. So Torah and avoda is seen as prayer or service in the temple, and acts of loving kindness. Ve'al ha'Torah. So what did he command him with regard to Torah? Shetichlu Torah shel Baal Peh v'Torah shel Bechtav, that it should include both the written Torah and the oral law. Amar al Torah shel Baal Peh, and he said on Torah shel Baal Peh, on the oral law. V'shamarta et mishmeret Hashem, guard the guardings of God. Shehi mishmeret l'mishmeret Torah, shehi Torah shel Baal Peh. So that line of guarding the guardings is the oral law. Shehi sayagim v'gzeirot v'diktukim kedei lelechet b'drachav, because these are the fences and the decrees and the specifics of how to go in the way, in his ways of God. Kakatuv v'torat Moshe, hi Torah shebichtav. And when it mentions, David mentions specifically to Shlomo, as it's written in the Torah of Moshe, this is talking about the written Torah. Shishmor shabal peh kedei lelechet b'kol makom. And I think he's saying that he should memorize the written Torah in order that it can go with him in every place. Chalukot shoma shebichtav, and divided into what's written, shehu leman taskil v'tatzliach et kol asher tasa, and in that way you will succeed and prosper in everything that you do. Ach lo shetia pniyatcha al ha-hatzlacha ki im v'et kol asher tifne yiyasham. But you, I think it's saying, you shouldn't go towards success except that which you will turn will be there, meaning it has to be in the Torah. Shekol pniyotecha yiyu b'torat Hashem, that all of your turnings shall be in the Torah of Hashem. So that's the thing that the Ashik told us to pay attention to, that I said I wasn't clear about. But I think what he's saying is that all of your turnings, wherever you turn, it should always be something found in the Torah, and then you'll prosper and have success. V'zeh amro sham shehu al Torat Moshe shizkir lamala ki lamala tasa v'lo lefaneha acheret. So do what's written in the Torah. Ki sefer Torah devar misuyam v'itzdak lomar ba milat sham. Okay, and I think I'm going to skip this one. It's a continuation. And then he goes on. So that was how you find Torah in the command of David to Shlomo. And now he's going to talk about avoda. So now in the avoda, he said in Pasuk Hey, so this is where we had in our sheet, Vigam atayadata tasher asali Yoav, and also you know that which Yoav did, she baishani b'melchamet b'nei Amon, she'er'eh ha'katuv she'katavti lo, lasim et Uriah b'makom giborei ha'ovim, v'lanicho bi'adam she'ereg lakachat ishcha. So this is where, in that war with Amon, he showed them that I instructed him to put Uriah on the front lines in order that he'll be killed to take his wife. V'im kol zeh, Eini masim lev, but I'm not paying any attention to this. Ki hu nogea aleinu, ki im asher asa l'shnei sarei tzva'ot Yisrael. What's really relevant and why he deserves death is that which he did to the two officers of the army of Israel. B'zehu shelo ne'amar v'asher asa, and that's why you don't have that vav, v'asher asa, it just says asher asa. Klomar, im sheta yedata asher asa l'shnei sarei tzva'ot Yisrael chulei, hu asher tabit. If you know what he did to the two officers, that's where you should look. V'lo al asher asali, and not what he did to me. V'zo avoda gedola, and this is a great service. Lishpoch dam asher yazid laharog be'arama k'mamar hakatuv, to spill blood that you purposely want to kill through trickery, as it says in the pasuk. This is also something I added, just the English translation. But if a man plots deliberately against his friend to slay him, this is from Shmot, I think it was Perkaf Aleph. Cunning even from my altar, you shall take him to die. So we are going to see that Yoav does just that. He tries to hold on to the altar, and Benayahu puts him to death in any case. Kmo shamru rabotenu zal, as our rabbi said, shefilu im haya kohen vaya makriv a korban, lo tamtin ad yakriv korbano. Even if he was a kohen and he was busy doing sacrifices, you shouldn't wait until he's brought his sacrifice. Ki im yavatel korbano, you should cancel his korban, v'kachnu lamot, and take him to die. Ki ein avodah ritzuya keharog shofech dam hadam. God does not want the service of somebody who spills blood and murders. So that is the avoda that he's commanding Shlomo to kill this man who is a murderer, Yoav. Val kein keneged avoda amarlo, and therefore corresponding to the service, la roget Yoav sheshafach dam shnei sarei tzvot Yisrael barama, kill Yoav, who committed murder against these two officers through trickery. That's his service. Val gemilut chesed amar, and with regard to loving kindness, he said v'livnei. But Barzilai haGiladi ta'asa chesed. You should do chesed with the children of Barzilai the Giladi. Ach inyan Shimi ben Gera, lo min Hashem. Okay, so we have the Torah of following in Hashem's ways. We have the avoda of killing Yoav. That's considered an avoda. And then we have the chesed of the sons of Barzilai that you should continue to do chesed with them. And now he's going to explain why we had this weird order of Yoav, and then Barzilai, and after that, Shimi. So he's going to say, or he's saying, sorry, Ach inyan Shimi ben Gera lo min Hashem hu. But this whole matter of Shimi ben Gera is not from God. Ki lo ish harag v'pish'o, ki im shaya chayav mita mi'az, ela shedavid lo ratza la'mito, ad yolid mi sheyatza mimenu Mordechai v'Esther. So he can't be put death now for his crime. He could have been put to death then when he was obligated, but David didn't want to kill him until he had given birth to the one who would come out of him, who would eventually give birth to Mordechai and Esther. So that's where you see that connection here in the Alshich. V'zeh yomar, and that's why it says, V'ata al tenakehu, and now don't cleanse him. Lomar ata shekvar hisiba hahi enena lo tenakehu. Hahi Lomar, now that it's already past, don't cleanse him. Ve'ein safek keya David yachol hamito achar sheholid shimi et hazera hanizkar lahanicho. And there's no doubt that David could have killed him after Shimi had already given birth to the one who would eventually give birth to Esther and Mordechai. Ve'henichu she'asehu Shlomo, but he left it for Shlomo. Leman hepil tachat Hashem al kol ha'am. In order so that all the nation will fall under God and they will be afraid before him and he will establish his kingship. Okay, so this is not, somehow the Alshich is distinguishing between Yoav, who it's a godly matter and he deserves death, to Shimi, who maybe then David could have killed him, and he even could have killed him now, but he is specifically commanding his son to establish fear and respect within the kingship. Be'omram ki gadol b'Yisrael kishimi harag al shehekel b'machut beit David. Because they said there is a great person in Israel like Shimi who kill him al she, because he made light of the kingdom of the house of David, v'kol ha'am yishma'u, and all of the nation will hear, v'yir'u gam ki na'ar v'rachu adayin, and they'll see that even though he's still young and soft, he was still able to carry out this killing of Shimi. V'zeh ma'amar ha'katuv al harigat Shimi v'yatzav ha'melech et Benayahu ben Yehoyada. We're going to get to this when Shlomo commands Benayahu ben Yehoyada to kill Shimi, and he's going to kill him. And then it says, V'hamamlecha nechona biyad Shlomo, and the kingship was then established in the hand of Shlomo. She'ayidei ken nitchazek b'machoto, because it was by way of this act that he was strengthened his kingship. Nimtza she'ein inyan Shimi mi'ayin hadvar ha'kodmim, and therefore it seems that Shimi is not connected to Yoav or Barzilai. Alkein lo samachoto al inyan Yoav kimidubar, and therefore it's not connected to the matter of Yoav. Okay. And I think so. We still haven't gotten to the Malbim. So I'm going to read this. I'm going to save the Malbim for next week as a summary of everything we just read, because the Alshich was a little confusing. But I wanted to share with you this commentary I found. So it's Rabbi Menachem Mendel Turim of Rimanov. And he was a Hasidish Rabbi. And he was a disciple of Rabbi Elimelech of Lezhinsk, one of his foremost important students. So he was a Hasidic Rabbi. And this is his book on the Parsha. And this is on Shlach. So he quotes the rabbis, who they say, HaMizbeach Etz Shalosh Amot. So the wooden altar was 3 Amot. V'yidaber alai zeh ha-shulchan asher lifnei Hashem. And speak, this is the table that was before God. That's from Yechezkel. Petach ba-mizbeach. The opening of the altar, it opens with the altar, the siyam b'shulchan, and it ends with the table. So these are all the accoutrements of the temple. Bizman shebeit hamikdash kiyam mizbeach mechaper. So at the time that the Beis Hamikdash was there, the altar would atone. Ve'achshav shulchano she'adam mechaper alav. But now it's a person's table that atones for him. Imkein she'ashulchan hu bimkom hamizbeach. So the shulchan substitutes for the altar. So when we eat at our table, it's as if we're bringing an offering to God on the altar. Min ha-ra'ui hu leval yistakel ha-adam min ha-shulchan v'lachutz. So it would seem that a person shouldn't look from the table to the outside. Rak yistakel tamid al ha-shulchan shehu bimkom mizbeach. He should only gaze on the table, that it is in place of the altar. I'm not sure exactly what that means. And this is where it says in our pasuk that to the children of Barzilai Gilade, you should do a chesed, and they should be eaters at your table. This doesn't seem like such a great chesed that they should just be invited guests at your table. What is it equal to give food to a person every day? He should have given him a whole city or at least a village as a gift. What does this mean? He can eat at his table. Why is that such a chesed? Rak ha'inyan ki ikar limud hazihirut derech eretz hu al ha'shulchan. So what's the matter? He's saying that we learn being careful in derech eretz, so in the way we live in the world, at the table. Ki hazehirut b'shaar dvarim kamo b'tfila eno tzarich limud kol kach v'hakol yod'in b'zeh. So being careful in other matters, like prayer, you don't need to learn that. Everyone knows that you're careful in your prayer. Everything's known. Rak zehirut ha-shulchan tzarich limud. But you do need to learn being careful at the table. Lomod kol inyanei derech eretz, to learn all the ways of manners. I think derech eretz here is manners, or just the ways of interacting with people. Shemizeh anu yicholim lavo el haTorah, and through this we can come close to Torah. Kamo shamru chazal, as the rabbi said, min lamed shederech eretz kadma laTorah. The way you act in the world precedes Torah. So it's only through learning proper manners and proper action in the world that you can then learn Torah. V'zehu hachesed v'atova asa Shlomo l'bnei Barzilai. This is the great kindness and goodness that Shlomo did to the children of Barzilai. Ma shehayu be'ochlei shulchan melachim, that he placed them with the other eaters, that they would become eaters at the table of the king. Ki mizeh yecholin lavo el shlemut me'od. And through this, they could come to a great completeness. So we learned about Shlomo's command to Yoav, and why he wanted Yoav put to death, and what Yoav did. And we learned about Barzilai HaGiladi and his chesed and kindness, and how David wanted Shlomo to repay his kindness through having his children eat at the table and understanding what a kindness that is. And we also learned about Shimi ben Bichri, who cursed David, and how he promised not to put him to death, but how it would be important for Shlomo's establishing of his kingdom, according to the Alshich, to indeed kill him, have him killed, find some sort of way to have him killed. Okay. Any questions? Shimi Ben Gera. I said the wrong name again. Sorry, Shimi Ben Gera. Any questions?